blah, blah, blah. All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I am your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Tuesday, December 17th, 2019. You know how to listen to the show. You can listen to it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. Subscribe. Email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Like it on Facebook. All that good stuff. I am currently on location in beautiful Long Island City with the very lovely, talented Katie Compa. She has a new album out called Hard Pass, available wherever. Why do I sound like a four-year-old? Oh, my God. Wherever you listen to music, stream it, buy it. I bought it from Google Play, I think.
Thank you.
And yeah, and I sent you the... Don't talk before I... Sorry. I'm pulling a Bobby Lee. Don't fucking talk before I introduce you, okay? Jesus Christ. All right. You can buy our album, Hard Pass. It's terrific. I was there. I was at the recording, and I bought it, and I sent Katie the receipt, not for her to pay, but to show proof that I bought it, and I just wasn't one of those bullshit people on social media that's, hey, buy my friend's album, and then they don't really buy it. And now you're leaving. You're walking away. Why are you walking away,
you're
Katie?
You're doing your intro. What do you care?
I was trying to bring you up, and now you're going into your closet. I don't know what's going on. You have a hard pass lanyard.
Yeah.
All right. I get to have this?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. All right. Katie Compa, how the hell are you?
I'm pretty good. I mean, I don't know. I'm better than I was. Like, okay. This weather really messes with me, so.
Yeah.
Right now I'm fine, but I don't, mm-hmm. I don't know. These 2 weeks before the solstice are really rough.
It's one of those. I don't know. It does kind of drain you. The weather can. I
have one of those sun lamps in my room.
Yeah,
it's like super bright.
Uh-huh.
You're supposed to use it 20 minutes a day. So I've been using it.
Oh really?
I don't know if it's making any difference, but it's.
It doesn't. Does it help at all or not?
I have no idea. Know.
How long have you had it?
I got it last year, but I've been using it like for a week.
Okay.
About.
Okay.
But like on Saturday, I could not. I got fully dressed to go to a party, and then I could not go out.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, talk about that. Why?
I don't know, man. I think I can't even say that I was like exhausted, but I just could not. I wanted to like Saturday, I was like, I have to rewatch Watchmen, all 8 episodes.
Okay, we're going to talk about that.
All day. All right. That okay. is already a day.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, okay, now I can get ready. Or I could start this really dumb Netflix series with Will from Will and Grace. So.
What's that?
It's called Travelers.
Okay.
It is not good.
Okay.
I mean, it's fine. It's like great while you're on your phone,
uh-huh. you
know? But anyway, I don't know. It was just like, I just had like the doldrums.
And you were just like, fuck it, I'm not going.
Yeah.
Were your friends pissed?
It was like a friend acquaintance.
Uh-huh.
So like the only, I would have known, I think like 2 people at the party. And I was just like, I also didn't tell her that I was a maybe. And
okay.
then I didn't change my response to a yes. And then when I was looking up the address, I was like, oh my God, I didn't change my RSVP. And now I'm going to like show up. And I just like, through a combination of like social anxiety and like shame about that.
Uh-huh.
And you know,
how far
the weather,
was that?
It was in Greenpoint.
That's not that far.
It's not that far, but it's like. By my if I was going with somebody, then like I don't know.
I totally understand that, and I understand. I appreciate the fact that you had the balls to just say, "I'm not going."
Yeah, I mean, it is like because this was a big party weekend, you know.
That is true. I guess with the holiday, so this yeah, I kind of feel like that too. I went to a. It's not even a light flex. I had a small part in a. And a small part in this. Have you ever heard of Passion Flicks?
No.
Passion Flicks.
It sounds like a porn company.
No. Hey, Katie, I'm an artist, okay?
I know. No judgment.
No. So it's basically Passion Flicks is a
porn company.
No. Okay. It's like Netflix for romance novels.
Okay.
So they take these romance novels and they adapt it into these films. I had a small part in it. I played like a bar patron. Uh-huh. I had one line. And they saw me, like I guess they saw a clip of me and they were like, we got to have that guy to be a bar patron. And I did a day on this movie. I was surrounded by all these hot people. All the leads were hot and they were just beautiful people.
Mm.
I went to the premiere and I was just like, all the people were really sweet and they knew me. And then after actually Elon Musk, his sister directed the film, and I think it's her company. And so she was nice, and so we did the premiere and stuff. And then afterwards, they had an after party, and it was an open bar, and the place it was nice, but there were so many people in this small space, and I was just like, I'm gonna go. I said my paid my respects to everybody,
yeah,
and just I left.
Yeah,
I talked to the people for a few minutes, and I was like, I got to get out of there.
I mean, completely. I've been doing that at shows too. I know there's a hang after, but I'm like, I want to get home to my couch as soon as possible.
Yeah.
But have you heard of PureFlix?
No, what is that?
It's like Netflix, but for religious movies.
Oh, wow.
And they have like a serious catalog.
All Kirk Cameron movies?
Like, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, I assume there are at least a couple that he's in. It's like really weird. Like, I don't know. Have you been flying at all lately?
Just not recently. There like a just, year like, ago.
These Christian movies that come up every so often where I'm like, how did they get like Morgan Freeman and Melissa McCarthy and like.
Oh, wow.
Like headlining actors to be in this weird movie with a religious overtone that's funded by this company PureFlix. That's I can't remember who. It's like I think some Hollywood guys who founded it. Anyway,
I know there was one where when the kid got stuck in ice.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of. Breakthrough. Yeah. Where I was just watching the preview like, yeah, how the fuck did they get Topher Grace to agree to this? Like
that money.
Yeah. I mean, wow. I'm like sure money they had really money. I feel like money means more now than it used to, or like has if more false good, power now than it used to.
What if it's a good part? Like if it's just a good role? I'm just like, asking. I don't know.
If the movie's good? I don't know. It depends to me if the movie's good. Because if it's a good role in a bad movie, then I've contributed to a bad movie, you know?
Yeah. I don't, like there was, I said this on the Patreon, like I was watching the movie and it was like really
Breaker?
Sexy. No, oh. No, this movie. This movie weren't. I was in called Dirty Sexy Saint. You can get it on Passion Flick. and it was really sexy.
The movie?
Yeah, it was. I was like, should I be watching this like without lotion? Like, what's going? It was intense, and I was just like, and I saw them after the show, and the two leads were really sweet. And I said, yeah, I just told my friends I was in a movie with all these hot people. And they're like, oh, stop. But yeah, it was interesting. That was my first one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I guess it's a market for everything.
I mean, yeah.
And you see all these actors, they're in stuff that's like straight to video. And Morgan Freeman did it. I watched this movie called Brian Banks. It's like Greg Kinnear, Aldous Hodge and Morgan Freeman, but Morgan Freeman was only in one scene, and it was like the story of this football player that got wrongfully accused of rape, and he went to jail, and then he comes out to rehabilitate his career, and Morgan Freeman's in like in the movie for like 6 minutes.
Huh.
And he's like, you make I guess his budget, whatever he's asking for, and he'll do it. It's kind of like
I when you're that level and you have options to do something for money like that, it's just like, what did you need?
Or I think it's a good story. It's like an inspirational story, but you know, it's
yeah, okay, yeah.
The guy got out. I mean,
I know. It's just like the wrongfully accused of rape thing is like, okay, there are other ones.
Hey, it was 99 cents on Google Play, yeah. So I just went with that. But
I'm not saying it didn't happen.
Yeah, you know it. And the accuser was not a white woman, which was surprising. I was like, oh, shit. The only thing I don't like about those movies...
He would have never been found innocent.
No, he would have been dead. There's never... What I don't like, and I was watching this movie, how they do flashbacks of somebody when they're messing up or they're, like, in jail or it was in the past when everything was bad. His haircut was, like, fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
But then, like, after he gets his shit together, he's got a nice shape up. It was just... I don't know. All right, let's move on. So, Watchmen...
Yeah,
you were into it.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, so, didn't expect to be.
So are you one of those like comic book graphic novel type people?
No,
not
at all. I saw the movie when I was still living in San Francisco, but I definitely ate a pop brownie right before it.
Okay,
and so mostly I remember being really high at the IMAX theater.
Okay, it's been so long. What year
I mean,
was
that was when we waited in line to get into it. So it was like, we had time. Nobody had kids, you know? Yeah. And it was like, there was no assigned seating. So it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I lived in San Francisco, so it was definitely a long time ago. When was that? 2009?
Okay. I mean, I met you before you had moved here. So it had to... I probably met you in 09 or 2010.
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
We're getting fucking old.
I know. It's so weird.
But I don't feel bad about it.
No, it's good. I mean, honestly, I'm like, can you imagine if we had more of our lives ahead of us with what's happening? I'm like, we got a pretty good chunk of time with like no real problems.
Yeah. I would say people like us to a certain degree. I don't want to project on you, but I feel like I would say that I had a pretty charmed life mm-hmm. for the most part.
Oh, like, for sure. Me too.
There's
yeah.
darkness and stuff, yeah. but then, and shit that's a shit that I got to deal with in a couple of days, but mm-hmm. it's just like, overall, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I never, like, I don't think I was in constant fear of, you know, something bad happening to the country than like maybe generations before us, like our parents had to deal with, mm-hmm. you know, like,
nuclear,
threat, yeah. A possible nuclear holocaust mm-hmm. or anything like that, but
and just yeah. you know, food shortages mm-hmm. like we both had enough to eat most yeah. of the time, like yeah. we got hungry but we didn't starve.
No, like all I think all of our basic needs were yeah. met.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to look at the date of this, but I remember we did meet. Maybe we talk about this shit all the time and people get tired of it.
This is only my third time on the podcast, I think.
So. You get a green jacket.
Yes.
On when you do
that would be awesome if you gave out green jackets.
When you do the fourth one. when is 2000? You're right. Absolutely right. 2009. Oh, yes. I thought it was older than that.
I wonder if that's why they used 2009 in the show.
Probably. It's possible. You know what got me was when I was watching Damon Lindelof talk about it on, he did this interview on Collider, and he's like, he was talking about, you know, putting the show together, and he's like, yeah, you know, I read Ta-Nehisi Coates, and I was like, holy shit, like The Case of Reparations. I was like, okay. I was like, wow. And this is, to me, is one of the blackest shows on TV.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just like, this is black. It was just very, it was just like, there was subtlety to it. It started with the Tulsa
massacre,
like Black Wall Street. I was like, oh my God. I saw everybody tweeting about it. And I said, all right, guys.
Same. I didn't start watching until, I think there were 6 episodes out already I started.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
And then I was like, uh-oh, I got to cancel all my plans. Like,
you do that when there's good TV?
I don't always have plans to uh-huh. cancel, but this, you know,
I respect that.
If I don't have anything to do, I'm like, well, my day is spoken for.
I kind of feel like that's like my girlfriend waiting at home for me. I'm like, I'll go out, I'll hang out. Somebody's waiting for me.
Yeah,
Daddy,
exactly.
With
if
a nice.
If I get home too late, then we can't spend any time together.
Yeah, nice cold Canada Dry. You stick it in the freezer for a little bit.
Yep.
For 10 minutes. Okay. Yeah, when he was talking about that, I was like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wasn't fucking around.
He definitely did not the work, but work. He did work.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you can tell that there are black voices involved in the show.
Of course, yeah.
And that's a big deal. My friends, Red and Ivan, who have not a competing podcast, but they have a podcast called Boars, Gore, and Swords, and it was originally about Game of Thrones, and now they cover other stuff. So they just did a bunch of stuff on Watchmen, and I, like, one of them actually read the book.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been getting like all these, you know, like extra things from that. But anyway, he's like very down on Damon Lindelof.
Because of Lost?
I don't even think because of Lost. Just like not like branding this, which is like kind of an original story with Watchmen, to like mm-hmm. get money to produce. I don't know. I think he's like angry that it's as good as it is.
There's a lot of people that were wrestling with that. And I thought that, you know, I saw the movie and I was like, oh, okay.
Right, exactly.
It's fine. It's fine. And so after people started talking about the Tulsa massacre, black bombing of Black Wall Street, I was like, all right, guys, let's see what's going on here. And I was just like, holy shit. I was blown away.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, they're doing this on TV? And it's, and I watched 3. And then last weekend, when everybody was like, oh my God, 2 weeks ago, when everybody was like, oh shit, this is amazing, the Dr. Manhattan reveal. And I was like, okay, I got to finish this.
Yeah.
And so Saturday afternoon, only thing I think I was going to do that weekend, this past weekend, was see Richard Jewell.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you?
I did. Fine.
That's another one that I'm like, there are other stories, Clint, you know?
You know, like, what, though? It's actually... Well, we can talk about that later.
We can not talk about it. But it's, okay, back to Watchmen.
I know his politics and stuff, but, like, it was actually...
Clint,
yeah. It was just kind of like, all right, it's a good story of somebody being falsely accused.
Did you read the Twitter...
About what happened to the dust-up about Olivia Wilde's character?
Yeah, about what they wrote her character as doing. Swapping sex for
leads. Yeah. I did. Did she really drop that story, though?
I think she broke it, but she didn't fuck to get the story.
She didn't fuck to get...
Like, we can be persuasive, you know?
Well, I think... I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying it's accurate, but the stuff...
No one's saying it's accurate.
Yeah, no. I mean...
But it's like... Just why, if you're trying to make a movie based on a historical thing, why would you change that?
I don't know. She was a harlot.
Exactly. That's what it is. And they want, you know, that's like, these can fill in for like actual historical records because it's easier to watch a movie. So
yeah, that's true. No, it makes sense. All right,
it's lazy. Anyway.
Back to Watchmen. Yeah. And so I was just, after I watch each episode, so I think I did 4 through 8. Over the course of that day, and I would go to Screen Junkies. That's really good because they have like Easter eggs. I would watch Screen Junkies. Each of them are about 15 minutes, and then The Ringer has like a recap.
Okay.
So Screen Junkies will make allusions to the book. Like, they'll make references to the book. This is because of this. This is because of that. And
it's kind of required if you're watching the show. Because you're like, what does a psychic blast do? They don't tell you.
And at the same time, it wasn't as heavy as I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. As far as like making these connections, as far like for somebody that hasn't read the graphic novel, it was just sort of like, okay, I'm not that dumb. And the way that the way that Lindelof tells these stories, I really appreciated the origin. It reminded me of Lost, and the best Lost at its best was about these characters and getting under the hood of these people.
Yeah.
And so you have an understanding like why they are who they are. And one of the critiques, and even Lindelof said it, was more, it should have been more Lady True. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot to explore there that we now can't.
Yeah. And
spoilers aside.
Yeah, we can spoil it. Everybody's seen it. And they just like kind of just take her out. And it's just sort of like, I really like that character.
I know, but I mean, where is all that energy then? Just in that thing?
Huh. Well, she's got that egg at the end.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be.
But that's not gonna be him.
It's not him. Maybe it's. Is it in the ether?
I don't. I mean, yeah, maybe. I would assume. And if once that's there, isn't he basically? Can he just like particle himself back together? I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm very new to this, so
it's. I don't know. I mean, it's something to think about. I think maybe is it just like. He just feels like that's his destiny to fulfill that. And it just like,
I don't get that. Cause it's like, if you are like even vaguely all powerful, then like, how could you let them zap you with that? Why didn't you just destroy the gun? You know?
I don't know.
I mean, it just comes down to like free will versus destiny. And like, how do you,
and it's like almost like, did you watch the Avengers?
Yeah, here and there.
So kind of like maybe like, Dr. Strange, how he was like, if I tell you what's going to happen, then it's not going to work or something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So maybe, because somebody mentioned that on, I was listening to a recap on Collider, and they were saying like, yeah, I'm kind of pissed at Dr. Manhattan. I don't really like him because it's like, you know, this is going to happen. You can't tell me what's going to happen. You know, it's going to be tragic, but you can't tell me, fuck you.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a thing that I was just like.
Yeah, I mean, that was like a very quick, okay, well, if you look like this guy, yeah, we'll be together for 10 years. No sweat.
Yeah.
Like, what?
I mean, would you do that too?
Do you hate Dr. Manhattan? Because it seems like you are kind of chill with Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah. I don't know. It's.
I mean, I probably need to just watch the show again, honestly, to like.
It's good.
Once I have some distance from it.
It definitely has rewatchability. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it was I think the episode that did it for me was probably 6. Was that 6 where
The nostalgia episode?
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And I was, yeah, I was blown away and by that.
Look, if I ever knew about the Tulsa Massacre, I don't remember knowing about that.
Oh, you didn't know before this?
No.
Holy shit. And you're really educated.
I'm pretty educated, and I like grew up in D.C. where they were yeah. like pretty comprehensive. I mean, maybe I just didn't know about it by that name, but...
Katie's not as woke.
I mean,
as look, we thought she
I
was.
Don't claim to be woke.
No,
okay,
I'm just saying that. No,
I am doing my best, yeah, and that no. is, you know.
I think I learned in my, I had to learn in my 20s, if not in high school.
High school is when it should be taught.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have gotten out of high school without knowing about that.
Yeah, we went to good schools. Mm-hmm. I don't think I might have been. Yeah.
I don't know if we went to schools where they were going to be like, white people did something shitty. Let's learn about it.
What?
Either see, one of us.
My school was predominantly black students, but the administration was white.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple black people that were, the vice principal was black, and he taught African American studies, and that was like, that class was like, oh, holy yeah. shit. Because, like... Growing up, like my existence, my listeners know this, but like it was very black.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, you know, I knew who I was. I knew how, you know, all that shit. But then it was sort of like that was even more of an awakening because it wasn't just like Martin Luther King had a dream.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
All the staples, all the like the super iconic black people, they were covered. But mm-hmm. then it's some of the other people that were a little indie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they weren't. And then when I got to that class, it was just like, holy shit, this is amazing. This
yeah.
is, you know, there's more to it. So, but yeah, there can always be more. Just, I think you just have like, we have to supplement stuff now.
Yeah. I mean, especially now that we're seeing everything happening in this mm-hmm. country, it's just, it has been, you know, a couple generations since we've like taken a look at this in
yeah.
a really like unforgiving we need to make changes kind of way.
Yeah.
And like even in the 80s, it was like probably the best it's been.
Yeah.
And people were like, well, everything's fine now. It's the 80s.
Yeah.
No racism at all. And
right.
it just was like, no, people just don't say it out loud the way they used to. It's all still
yeah.
happening.
And now they're doing it loud,
yeah.
loud.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of like this thing where, you know, you hear the term, I guess the unapologetically black, like mm-hmm. you hear that. And I think that applies to Watchmen, but it wasn't. It was just like, it was just within the DNA of that series. It was mm-hmm. just like, oh my God, like I don't know. And he definitely had he had at least one black woman on the writing staff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this just ends.
I mean, can you imagine if he tried to write that by himself?
No, I think he's smart enough to
yeah.
know. Yeah. He's smart enough to know.
Oh.
Yeah. What do you think about that? Because I think sometimes, like, people, obviously, I didn't like The Lost. I don't think they stuck the landing.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the characters, I was really into those characters. Like, I really liked them and I cared about them.
Mm-hmm.
Even the ones I didn't like that much, I knew their motivations. I understood them within the world of that show. And that's a testament to him and J.J. Abrams. And so I think even with all this heightened stuff and all these powers that they had, it was still like, well, what makes this person tick?
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of got to see that in this one. Yeah, it's just a really well done series.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else have you liked this year?
I can never answer this question. And like, I'm like, what came out this year?
It's hard to do that. Like yeah. sometimes I'll look at,
recently watched on Netflix.
Well, you can do that. I mean, the last thing I watched on Netflix, I watched Michelle Wolf special.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that. Shit. Yeah. I've been watching Superstore.
Okay.
I like that
show. Yeah. It's a very
pleasant, nobody's getting murdered mm-hmm. show.
Yep.
You know, like The Office is kind of like that too.
It's so much like The Office.
Yeah.
There's like a bad relationship to worry about, but mm-hmm. not like any consequences, you know.
Now people are going back and saying Jim is problematic. Do you think he's problematic?
Sure, but it's not like Jim. It's, I think anything problematic is largely because we as a society are problematic.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to jump straight to R. Kelly now because that's what I'm talking about. So R. Kelly and Michael Jackson, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally ready to cancel R. Kelly. It's not even that I'm like so mad at him. I think he should be punished, although I do. But it's like I can't listen to the music without being sick. It makes me ill because I know what he's, you know, speaking to in that song.
Right.
Whatever song you want to pick, all of them. Mm-hmm. It's even hard for me to listen to Aaliyah, who I do not want to cancel.
I loved her.
Yeah.
I had the hugest crush. I remember, God, I think I was in seventh or eighth grade, and we went to Busch Gardens. And I remember right before that trip, I got her tape.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't the CD, young folks. It was the tape. The
cassette.
Cassette tape. And
because she was our age.
Yes. Yeah. She was like, yeah, she was, yeah, she was sexy. She was, but she was tomboyish. Mm-hmm. She had a swagger about her. And yeah. Yeah. I was on that train way before the Timberland production.
Mm-hmm.
Not to,
but that was like better for her.
Yeah. It was better for her artistically. Yeah. It definitely was. Yeah.
She was like imprisoned. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy what it all went down under our noses, and that's my
point.
Didn't
know. Like we didn't know.
Well, we didn't know, but it's like he's been doing this repeatedly for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And now we're all like, oh my God, he's been doing this. This is terrible. Let's cancel him. And then we want to like, and with him, I think it's just different because let me turn to Michael Jackson because
no, well, I got to talk to you about because I'm trying to do a bit about R. Kelly.
Okay. Okay.
And sometimes it's not like it's like a. It's like, yeah, he's bad, but we're shitty too.
That's what it is. That's where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't want to cancel Michael Jackson because I don't get the same like ick from his songs.
Did you watch the...
I did not. I already believe them. Okay. I believe them. I don't need the details.
Uh-huh.
But that's another thing where it's like, we all stood around and watched,
mm-hmm.
you know? And now we want to be like, wow, Michael Jackson was the worst person. I would never allow that to happen.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we did. We all did. My first concert was Michael Jackson. My mother took me. You know, like we all were in this together.
We were all complicit,
and we let money become power. Like, and we don't have to do that. But.
And the art was good. And then it's like, I don't know. Like, I just don't like the fact that people say that. Well, Louis wasn't that funny.
No, I mean, why play that game?
And Cosby wasn't funny. I saw him because it was a time. Okay, I saw him 2014, and it was
Was it in Westchester?
It was in Bergen County. It was in Jersey, mm-hmm. and this was a time where people were like, "You got to see him.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta see him.
This is your last chance
before he dies.
Yeah.
He's amazing. You have to see him." And I was like, "I got to do it." And I remember. I did like Gotham Comedy Live, and I was like, I'm going to celebrate. I'm getting a ticket to see Cosby.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him fucking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple days later, that video comes out with Hannibal's video that somebody shot. And Hannibal started this Yonder thing. It's not Dave Chappelle. And a lot of people, they give Hannibal his props.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I was like, fuck. Well, I'm glad I saw him before the shit happened.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's the thing that makes me upset too. Like, obviously the things that he did was horrible. But then like the fact that we're going to just turn around and act like we...
To make it 100% their responsibility is like, it's just not 100%. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's most of it. It's above 90%. But,
yeah.
You know... R. Kelly's managers didn't have to make this possible. Like,
right. Hey, that girl's 15.
Mm-hmm.
Leave her alone.
Yeah. Or like, I'm going to call the cops, buddy. You know, I get it. Money is good. People want job security. You know, money is power. And I understand mm-hmm. that. But it is like, it's all of us.
Yeah.
Keeping each other in check.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think it's like you get caught doing something like this and you realize how bad it is and, you know, you regret it. But it's like at some point somebody could have checked you along the way, and it just that's like, you know, I have like a lot of hesitation about like fame and power, and like if I ever achieve that kind of status, like what it will fucking do to me, what it'll do to my personality.
But I think when stuff happens to you when you're older, like I kind of take I don't think I would have been an asshole if I became famous.
It just depends on who's around you.
I heard there's a line that says, money doesn't change you. It makes you more of who you already are.
But I think definitely if you're young and you're surrounded by like you know, Scooter Braun or whoever, that's going to do some shit to your personality that fucked having Bieber like your around. Mom around might not.
He fucked Taylor Swift over too,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's like a grade A dickhole, man.
Did he fuck over Bieber?
I don't know. I don't know their history.
I know he found religion.
He is a grown man named Scooter. Yeah, yeah, he did find religion.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, it's... I'd like to think that I would be, if I was famous at that, like, 25, I would probably be grounded.
I hope so. I mean, but it's like when I was little and I would think about being like a ruler of a, you know, realm. And I could constantly see that. I would not be corrupted by power. Hello. It is so easy to do the right thing. And now that I'm older, I see that it is complicated.
It can be. And
that's why it takes all of us. And that's, I think we're living in a phase of capitalism where the power, money, you know, nexus is so like off balance that we can't keep it in check as a group anymore, because it's consolidated in the hands of industry titans.
So the last time you were on, you wanted me to get rid of Amazon.
Did I say that I was being petty, or I'm petty now.
You're petty.
I bought a couple things from them last year, which was probably over a year ago.
You were on in February. I thought it seemed like it was last year. I was looking at
it
the thing of
oh,
this year
long okay Well, okay, I don't remember when it feels like last year, but anyway.
I just looked it up. Okay. That's all. It's nothing on
it. So
me.
I didn't talk... Okay, anyway. Not so an indictment. I ordered a bunch of stuff. I got like tabletop mic stands for podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
I got some record frames because I have some records that I want to put up. Still have not gotten them because I got one record frame. It showed up in its own box. Uh-huh. And I emailed... I IM'd customer service to be like, where's the rest of my stuff? Can I get it replaced? And they were like, no, you have to go file a police report.
You did talk about that. Yeah. That was earlier this year.
Yeah. And that's it. That was it.
And you said, fuck it.
Now I'm like, I'll pay the extra $6 to buy it from somebody else. Like, I already don't shop at Walmart, and that's been like pretty easy. You know, I mean, I still have Target. Target is like, okay.
Well, you live in Long Island City. Is there no Walmarts are near here, right? Unless you go to Long Island or something.
I think, yeah, you have to go out to like Flushing. There might be one in Flushing Center.
Yeah.
But I mean, Walmart is more, they don't really do urban areas. They do like isolated, you know, where it's like the only thing around for miles.
It's so cheap and it's so like.
And it's something to do.
Yeah. It's just the one near me is kind of a shit show. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a shit show.
I don't like it there. I just, it feels very much like end stage capitalism, and anything you buy there will disintegrate within days, you know?
Yeah. It's, but I mean, we think we need it so cheap. And it's
yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
I don't think that I single-handedly can make people stop shopping on Amazon. You know,
no.
But it's also like that guy could pay for everybody's healthcare. You know, like he could literally snap his fingers and save people's lives with his money, and he doesn't.
Yeah, it's. I don't know what's happening. But I think it's already in us. You know?
We have a sickness. And it was like, I think, you know, started in the 80s, like Reaganomics and all that.
It's we want stuff.
Yeah. We want stuff, and we want to like arbitrarily decide who deserves stuff and who doesn't.
Yeah.
To make it easier to distribute the stuff.
I just think that I think that any success that I've had like in my like, late 30s, because that's when I started to have it. Like I think when you take on this journey of trying to be in show business, it's sort of like there's points of like accomplishment.
Yeah,
I did that thing, a milestone.
Absolutely.
Exactly. That's why you went to Georgetown. And it's like there's these milestones and you can look back and say, yeah, I'm supposed to be doing this thing that I set out to do.
I am legit. That's why I put out an album.
Hard pass in stores now.
Yep.
And it's sort of like, you know, you're supposed to be doing it because these things are happening to you. And I think because things have happened for me in my older ages, like I just kind of appreciate it. And it's kind of like the first SAG gig I got, like my listeners know, I've like just cried in the car. Because and it was only one scene that I got cut out of. So, but it was still, it was just like, fuck, okay, okay, this is, it means something now.
Yeah.
To me. More importantly, then my parents can see like,
right.
that, like, hey, I'm not
yeah.
a total loss. Because you take a step, like for me, I'm the black sheep of my family. Because I'm the only one that like left
mm-hmm.
that doesn't live in the same area as their parents and their and it's not saying that I'm any better because I'm flawed. Everybody's fucked up. But it was just like I did that thing. And then I just got off the phone with my dad. I said the only pressure was from me was when I was a kid, it wasn't that like it wasn't. You could fail. It was just like, oh, you're going to do this. You're going to be successful
mm-hmm.
or like you're going to have this stability or thing. And that was stressful, too, because, oh, yeah, Chris is supposed to do.
Yeah.
That. And that's kind of like, ugh.
Yeah.
And I
had it wasn't so explicit, but I had the same expectation.
Yeah.
Of like, you're going to go to a good college, then you're going to get a good job and you're going to be successful at it.
Mm-hmm. You know? And how did you deal with it?
I became a comedian. I mean, I had, you know, I started in a healthcare PR agency and mm-hmm. it just was like, you know, when you are around people who that is really important to them and that's what they want. They want to like climb that ladder and
yeah.
become like the best healthcare PR representative that there is. And I just was so like, I can't even want anything about that. Like more money. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anything else that comes with it. I don't want more yeah. responsibility. I don't want more client contact. I don't, you know, it's
yeah.
it's like, that's just not what I'm supposed to be doing.
And kind of like, and talking to like other actors and other comedians, like for a while, it seems like the new thing now, there was a part of it that was like, people not talking about their day jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how the fuck are you going to like make money to do comedy?
Right.
Like, it's almost like you have to, like in order to do the road, you have to have money.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have gas,
hotels,
because they don't pay features, mm-hmm. you know, and when you headline, mm-hmm. sometimes they do, but it's like,
I don't think it's like that in New York, at least like anymore.
That people don't talk about their day
yeah,
jobs.
Yeah, I think people do.
Now it seems like they do now. Mm-hmm. And I know at least in LA, I had a friend tell me that people in LA don't talk about day jobs.
Well, that's LA.
And then when I was at this little movie premiere, it was sort of like, yeah, I'm going back to catering and bartending and doing these events and, you know, hope the next thing comes, it mm-hmm. comes, and, you know, just enjoy this gig while it lasts
yeah.
and ride it out. And then, and now it's been like people trying, not really trying to out people that have money. It's like this person has money because mm-hmm. they come from money and that's why.
Coming from money and having a day job that pays you a lot of money is different. And that is, I do that. I throw shade at people who come from money and didn't have to like hold down a job and do comedy and just got to focus on their comedy.
But it's like because they, but what if, is it because they act like they don't?
I just, they don't, like it's just a different, it's apples and oranges. I mean,
okay, okay. To you, this is just, it's like whatever.
Like I'm not like, they shouldn't have that.
Oh, sure,
just,
yeah.
Like we have different, you know.
Yeah, you have more time to, you more leisure to work on mm-hmm. stuff and.
And like you're always free to meet because, you know.
Yeah, and when you're pushing 40,
stay out late. It's
oh my god, that's one of the real things that I just envy. Where it's like you have this awesome night where you this okay. Case in point, like we talked about being reclusive. I know we're jumping around. We always do this.
Yeah, I have ADD.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
it's an occupational hazard. It's talking me, to me,
but it's all right. We talk about being reclusive and talking about I'm not going to go to that party or I'm just going to stay home. Mm-hmm. I had this show. I was doing this show. You ever done? Noah Savage and Alyssa Wolf show.
No,
they have this
Savage Wolf.
Yeah, it's called like and it's at this place called the Vaughn,
mm-hmm.
and it's like on Bleecker Street, and it's like you go in this bar, and then downstairs there's a nice like lounge area. It's actually pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I told him it looked like a when I got on stage. I said this. It seems like I'm in the middle of an Edgar Allan Poe poem. You guys, you know. Hey. Couple people laughed anyway, and it was nice, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna do my set and then leave. But then I just stayed
mm-hmm.
and hung out. It was on a Thursday night. I had a blast. Was I a zombie the next morning? Of course.
Yes.
Was I nodding off trying to type and, you know, but it was, I was like, I needed that.
Yeah.
I needed to fucking do that.
I mean, I think my schedule now is like kind of the best of both worlds because it's like I do sort of set my own hours. Like sometimes I have to get up and deal with things, but then I can go back to bed if it's really that serious.
Oh, that's good.
And yeah, I mean, I have you been reading the Gary Gulman tips
on Yeah. Twitter?
Like one of his is like choose your day jobs carefully. Mm. And it's like we don't all have the ability to choose our day jobs carefully,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I ended up lucking into something that was much, right. much better of a fit than working full time in a corporate environment where they were sure. like, why don't you want to advance? Like, why don't you want to climb the ranks?
Yeah.
You know, or I was like, can I just do stuff and then go?
Like, I feel like, and see, like it's easy for people like us to say, I fucking hate my day job, bro. Mm-hmm. And you can complain about it. You can not like it. But I feel like sometimes, like I had this moment where 2 weeks ago, where I was like, this is my job and this is how I make money. And would I rather be doing something else? Yes. But this is my job and my name is on this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make sure it's right and I want to do it to the best of my ability.
Yeah, I agree. Yep.
Some people don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't give a shit. And I realized that where I was like, I stayed an hour late on a Friday and I was just, my blood was boiling because certain people wanted to have an ego trip and think that they know more than you. Anyway, I'm going to.
No, I get crazy. It.
But it's like, I was like, hey, I care about this shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, I like acting and I like doing stand-up, but I want to get this job done because I want to be able to, you know, pay my rent.
And, I mean, I think, you know, I have had arguments with people about this, but I think it's like having a regular life with a day job, you can write material, like you can actually understand better where people are coming from than when you get huge and you can't relate to where people are coming from at all.
And you don't connect,
Yeah, it's much easier to maintain that connection. Plus, you know, if you have income that's not from your art, you have full artistic freedom.
Right.
So, like, I try to appreciate that more than anything, although right now I'm just like, I have no material, like.
But at the same, and I want to talk about that, but this, I just like where we're going now. We can, I know you got a heart.
I'd like to be done at like six.
That's totally fine. We'll get there. I just kind of like where we're going with this, where it's like, and I kind almost forgot, but it's just like that point where I feel like there's a point where it's just like, I'm at a ceiling. There's only so far that I shouldn't be saying this on the main feed, but I feel like at my day job, it's only a certain part that I'm going to be able to go.
Yeah.
I'm only going to be able to go so high.
Right. And why would you want to go farther? But capitalism makes you, it's like you're supposed to.
But even if I wanted to, like I see myself like learning these new skills, but at the same time, I feel like I'm still not going to really progress. And it's like, well, I'm going to have to keep going hard at stand-up and acting.
Yeah.
Because that's supplementing my income.
Yeah.
You know, it's becoming a part-time job. So it's like...
And it's like, I do want income from stand-up and, you know, I don't act. But,
if the gig
just
comes...
Yeah.
Like, if they're like, Katie, we want you to write on this show, you're going to fucking leave your day job. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to happen. So, but it's at the same time, you can say like, well, I don't want to be... It just seems like a lot of time. I won't say that. I'm not going to say that on this. But it's just like if there's a ceiling and you can see it. And it's like, yeah, I'm not going to go any further than this. But I know that. But at the same time, I'm still going to put forth all that.
Yep. I'm going to get the job done. That's like what I like about here is they're not trying to promote me.
Okay.
They're not like, you need to take on more of XYZ. Like, they don't want that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the work ebbs and flows because I'm hourly.
Yeah.
So it just depends on what's happening. But in terms of like, I have, you know, a performance plan or whatever, like I don't have to deal with that shit anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just like insulting.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's just like some people have day jobs that don't require a lot of cerebral work.
Yeah.
And it's
it's, you know, when I think about writing, it's like, I think it's so difficult to write for a show full time and maintain your own stand up and writing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be challenging. You know, I haven't tried it out, but
yeah, we should be so lucky.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever really tried. A couple times I've submitted for stuff.
Mm-hmm. I've submitted Yeah. And then I didn't hear anything either time. One, I was like, I wish I had never submitted that. The other one, I was like, this is actually pretty good.
Yeah. But, yeah. You never know what it goes on with some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like, yeah, it's kind of a, that kind of seems to be the thing where like now people are talking about like people being rich and that's one of the reasons why they're able to do the things that they can do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's connect, but that's, I think that's in any field though.
I totally agree. You know? And it's like, if I see people paying that forward, then great.
Yeah.
But if it's like a self-congratulatory vibe that I get from them,
okay,
then I'm like, go fuck yourself.
Do you see that a lot? Do you see it?
No. I mean, you know, I can name you some people. I'm not going to. Off but, mic. Yeah, off mic.
Okay.
But,
tell us now. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, no, I don't think it's like necessarily obvious.
Okay.
But, I it's not like I'm out here by myself making, I'm not completely self-made, you know, like my parents support me. Like they do. They're very supportive.
Mine are too.
So yeah. I can't, you know, I can't claim to like not have to have done this without help. Like
sure.
started from the upper middle class. Now I'm upper middle class, you know?
I think a lot of, I remembered going to a show. I don't know if I've said this on a podcast, but within the last month, I was doing a show with somebody that had a half hour, and the guy was talking about being broke.
Mm-hmm.
But then I guess like at the same time, it's like you get so much money from, you get maybe 20 grand. People say it was like, I don't know how
for
much.
For a half hour?
Something like, at one point it was that like maybe 20 grand or mm-hmm. so, but then you don't know what the taxes are.
Right, sure. And that's not that much at the end of the day. That's not that much per year, you know? And yeah. Like you're not going to get more than 1.5 hour per year. So then you're traveling.
Yeah. And you never, it's just like, mm-hmm. And it's really, yeah, don't quit your day job.
Right.
You know? And I think, you know what it is? The thing that frustrates me is the fact that, okay, at my day job, there's certain people that will, oh, how's that comedy thing going?
I hate that so much.
And they want to see if you failed.
Yeah.
Like they want, like they think because you're working there that you're not mm-hmm. like progressing.
Yeah, or that you're no, I mean, it is
there's
like.
There's probably people at your job that don't even know you have an album.
Is like you want, oh, absolutely, they do not. I would okay. never tell, my yeah. bosses know because they follow me on Instagram.
Okay.
But my client has no idea. And I'm still yeah. like, I cannot believe these motherfuckers have never Googled me. Like this yeah. is so odd to me. I yeah. Google every, I'm always like, who am I on the phone with? You know, and I'll look uh-huh. them up. But I mean, it's like, I'm not hiding anything.
Right.
But they don't, you're they definitely don't know.
You're hiding in plain sight.
Right, exactly.
And I feel like
there's only one Katie Compa. Like it would not be a difficult Google search.
Yeah. There's a lady that I work with and she works remotely most of the time. And she was like, hey, you know, I was watching Murphy Brown and I saw, I was like, oh yeah, you saw that. And she's like, oh, that's really hard. It's really hard
to get onto.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, like, she's right.
Like, yeah. And sometimes people are just like, well, what are you doing here? Like trying to make money.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's the perception of actor's life
yeah.
versus the reality of it. Mm-hmm. And same with comics. And I mean, even I think it was Maria Bamford was like a receptionist someplace.
Yes.
And did, what was it, Letterman or something? And then the next day was back at her job and somebody walked in and was like, weren't you on Letterman last night? And she's yeah. like, yeah. And this is my job, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Well, she had that really good, she did the commencement. There's a commencement speech she did at U of M. I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
And she talked about money and the value of it. And she actually gave, I think she gave some of her check to a drama student.
Oh, wow.
If you look it up, if you okay. like yep. Maria Bamford commencement mm-hmm. speech, and yeah, and she talks about having a day job, being a temp in her stand-up, I think maybe like her second album. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I think there's just, it's so weird where it's just kind of like, you say, well, actually I've done, but I don't even care anymore. Because like, I could be in my eating lunch in the break room and somebody comes, oh, hey, Chris, how's the comedy career?
My big trigger is, are you still doing comedy?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, I'm still doing comedy. Mm-hmm. Am I following my passion? Yes, I am still fucking doing comedy.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk more about this? And usually they don't.
So I'm the only one. I'm not the only one that gets angry.
No, I get very defensive about it. And it's like, I had a like romantic snafu a few years ago with a guy that I had like reconnected with after a long time.
Okay.
And when I went, we like were together for a weekend and nothing happened.
Okay.
Okay, that's like the upshot of the story. But he asked me three different times over the course of the weekend when I was going to quit comedy, when I would decide that it wasn't worth it to keep trying, you know?
Oh my God.
And I like could not grasp what he was even trying to ask me, because I was just like, I don't, like, I would need to like be physically unable to do it, I think, mm-hmm. if I'm understanding this question. But it was just like, isn't it time to give all this up, you know?
What was he doing?
Well, he wasn't doing anything. That's why he was asking me that. I think because he wanted to do music or something and didn't, you know.
Yeah, that shit just, one time I was sitting in the break room with another, with a woman, and we were eating lunch.
A coworker.
Yeah, that's right. I was like, a woman.
I was like, what was she doing there? Was she a plumber?
Yeah. She, another coworker, and then another coworker comes in, and she's like, and it's weird because the coworker I was mm-hmm. eating with, she was newer, but she had seen me on TV before. And yeah, I was like, yeah, you know, I have to do this sometimes, blah, blah, blah. And this lady comes in. She's like, are you still doing comedy? I was like, no, I quit.
Nice.
And she was like, oh, it didn't work out. Like, she was like, I was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, mm.
It is like, I mean, people don't understand what it fucking takes to do comedy,
right.
too. How you have to do it. You have to like spend part of your life doing it all the time.
Yeah.
And it's so much work. And I just have been having trouble. Like, I'm about to go on a 1 month break from everything.
Yeah.
Like, performing, social media, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's partly why. It's just like, I constantly feel behind. And I was like, I need to take like a planned break where I'm not.
Sure.
You
have to live a life worth commenting on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess we could maybe segue into the album, Hard Pass. One of the things I appreciated about it, it was almost, I was listening to it. I was obviously at the taping.
Yes, thank you so much for coming.
Of course.
You were at the early show, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That was just like, you slaughtered.
No, I know. That was like, I was like, well, I guess I'm using all audio from that show. And then if I told you this already,
It was too hot.
It was, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It was like icky. So.
Yeah. You had to take some of it down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I didn't. I actually used the second show. I just used audio from the second show.
Oh, the whole second
show?
No,
definitely not. But like the first 15 minutes I took from the second show.
Ah. Okay.
Because it was just like the laughs were in the right place. There were no unnecessary applause breaks because people were so excited to be there. You know,
I was thinking about this on the way over. I was thinking like if this were the 90s and it was the same album, you'd probably have a sitcom.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like you'd have been like,
yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think I'm underrated, which is like,
yeah,
I am trying to like own my confidence and be more confident. But when I'm feeling confident, own it. But I do think I'm underrated. But I mean, you know, whenever I think about why I haven't gone farther, it's like what I lack in ambition, I more than make up for in a genuine distaste for the industry. And I just like have not actually tried to like get into that.
Oh, actually, you know? Like tried to put yourself out there.
To like get an agent or like.
Well, I think you should.
I mean, yeah, I've thought about it. I've like, you know, I ask around.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, I have not gotten any like secrets to that. You know, it's like in terms of representation, it's like they find you. And for them to find you, you need to have a little heat.
That's,
and for that to happen, you have to like do something.
I mean, some of it's, I don't know how much, I mean, I never had any heat. But I think working with Chris Hardwick, I thought that was going to take me somewhere. But what it did do for me, I would say it gave me more confidence that like touring with him was like, okay, the jokes that I worked on in these bar shows, in these basements,
mm-hmm.
they work in Philly.
Yeah.
They work in San Francisco. They work in D.C. They work in Baltimore.
You still work with him ever?
Huh?
You still work with him ever?
No. It's been like six mm-hmm. or 7 years. But I'm very thankful to mm-hmm. him for that. And it wasn't like, this guy's hot, so
right.
work with him. He's like, you're funny. Do some.
Yeah.
Let's do some dates. Uh-huh. So it was like an organic thing. And it was cool. But I think you should. I think, you know, like, it doesn't hurt to try.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
But, like, how do I try? I would love to try. Who do I email? You know? We don't have to talk about
we'll
this.
We'll talk
on
about
here.
It all.
Yeah. I'm just generally, listeners, I'm speaking to the frustration of, like,
wanting to try, but not
knowing how to go about it. And, you know, I like, took a... I don't think I would have put this album out if I hadn't taken a goal-setting class.
Oh, really?
Last year, yeah. And that was, like, that was on my list in there, too. I had, a, like, a representation, like, whole track of goals related to that. No movement, you know?
Have you tried to... Well, we'll talk... Okay,
this we'll talk more about album.
But with regards to the album, it's, I was listening to it, and it's very personal.
Mm-hmm.
And it is like, I was like, yeah, this could be a web series. Like, I'm thinking about the chunk where you have like your gay friends and you,
that I do want to make into a sitcom.
Yeah. Like, it's like, it's sort of like, this is like all Katie.
Mm-hmm.
And what I appreciated, like the structure of it was like the first, I counted like maybe 13 minutes was like, you talk about like, yeah, I went on this trip and they do this over here, they do that over there, and they treat women differently, blah, blah, blah. And then you say, you want to know why I'm like this?
Yeah.
I thought that was so fucking cool because it was like you reset. It's like you reset your set in a quarter of the way through, where it was like the first part was like a cold open. And then the second part, this is why I'm like this. And this is boom. So when you think of, so just, I like to talk about structure. How'd you do that?
I wrote out like the names of my jokes on index cards, and I would like move them around mostly on the couch. I would just like lay them out, move them around. I just had kind of, you know, I've been doing sets, like 10 minute sets, long enough that I kind of know what goes with what.
Sure.
And I just kind of put together a working list, probably like a month and a half beforehand. When I started doing, I went to San Francisco and I did a bunch of long sets there, and that's when I started like really putting it in order. So I started doing it in San Francisco, and then I think when I got back, I was like able to pretty much have it, you know, I could show you, I have like a bunch of different times that I wrote it out, and like arrows, like move this here. And but it came together with less like pain and suffering than I expected.
Because you already knew, you
just
knew
it like felt right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was, you know, I had like major, major anxiety leading up to it. It was like,
I was
very glad I didn't have a roommate because I was here like running the set.
This is all you now?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. We'll talk about that.
My roommate, Missy Baker, moved out. She lives in LA now.
R.I.P. Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, and I was just like, I'll get a roommate in a couple months, in a couple months, in a couple months. And then I just haven't.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's been great.
I've never had a roommate post first semester of grad school.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, at any time I could pull the trigger on getting another roommate. Sure. I'm not opposed to it, but in terms of like preparing for something like this, not having anyone else in the house was like huge.
Good for you.
So yeah, I was like running it like the week before. I would run it at least once at home, and then I had like several crying breakdowns for, you know,
really,
for, like, 15 to 30 seconds. Like, just getting, like, it was so overwhelming to think that I was going to do this.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, I performed it in front of like 120 people total. Like, it's really not that
big of a deal. Katie,
yeah.
Stop.
No, I wanted it to be good. You know, I was like really stressed out that it wouldn't be good.
You can't, it was really good. Like, I was just told everybody, like, that because I'm trying to do it and I don't want to fucking talk about it anymore until I have a date, and then there's something that happened that you and I talked about briefly. That I'm excited about, but then at the same time, I want to do the same thing. So, and it's especially, it's even more of an accomplishment because you do have a day job, and a lot of people, when they get to our age, it's like, well, I'm just into what I'm doing. I'm just into the doldrums of doing what I do.
Yeah.
You know, and.
Or like, I have kids and I'm not really sure why I did that, but
yeah.
Gotta support these kids. So.
And it's not like. And when. And it's just like when we get inside baseball like this, it's not to say like, oh, we're doing something more.
No, certainly not.
It's
certainly
just
not.
It's just whatever that passion is, mm-hmm. if it's gardening, if it's like cooking, if it's and you do your thing, your survival job, and then you like to you want to be a chef. Mm-hmm. Like you really take pride in that. I have a buddy that's a Michael Felder, who's an amazing college football analyst. He makes his living doing that. But his Instagram is all these amazing dishes that he makes.
Amazing.
And it's fucking, I'll have to show it to you.
Yeah, I would love to. But I love food porn.
He's incredible. Mm-hmm. But he's a college football analyst.
I bet he loves that too.
He does. Yeah. So it's just sort of like, it's anything. And I just want to like kind of dispel. Because sometimes we can get a little too...
Of course. We all want to justify our choices. Yeah. They do it to us, too.
The people
with day jobs and kids, mm-hmm. they're like...
Well, that's what a lot of the album is about. Mm-hmm. Like you talk about the pressures from your friends that have, you know...
And it's really like, I am standing in for society or for like an every woman in that. Mm-hmm. Because I actually don't feel that kind of pressure very much. Like,
you don't? Okay.
I mean... From a societal standpoint, yes. But, like, is my mom... Like, we had a conversation about why I'm not having kids. She understands why I'm not having kids. Mm-hmm. And we're good. Now she's like, why aren't you in a relationship? And I'm like, well, we don't have time for that. But,
Is it you and your sister? Yes. Younger sister? Mm-hmm. Is she doing those things?
She's gonna get married in September. They got engaged in, like, October.
All right.
And I think she still wants kids. We haven't talked about it in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So, you know... She's going to get grandkids. Like, yeah. As far as I know, it's going to happen. It's just not going to be me.
Yeah. I have some stuff that happened over Thanksgiving that's like, just like with my parents, where it's just like, maybe this is why I'm not in a relationship right now.
I mean,
sometimes when maybe, you see certain things. Maybe that things, is why. And I want that. Mm-hmm. Like, you even have, I don't want to burn the, you talk about like loneliness and stuff. And it's like, yeah, I get that. I want a partner. Mm-hmm. I want this. But it's not going to be on anybody else's terms just to be with somebody.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's like, I mean, I'm not going to say your struggle is not real because I know it is. But it's, I'm turning 40 next year. And like, to
me
find...
Too. Oh, you were born in 80?
Yeah.
I thought you were older than me.
I thought I was too.
I thought but you I were... You
I
graduated.
Mean, I was born in January, so...
You graduated.
Oh, yeah, I skipped a grade.
Fucking nerd.
Yeah. My parents, please.
Okay.
I didn't want that.
Yeah, I'm 40 in February.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Well, so we're the same age.
Yeah.
In 5 years, if neither of us get married. Sorry, guys.
My best friend Quentin's wedding.
Yeah,
We
could do the road.
Yeah, sure. Okay, what were we
anyway,
talking about?
We were talking about you're turning 40.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, I don't necessarily feel that pressure, but it is like I have to, with each passing day, it does get more difficult to stay a single woman,
mm-hmm.
unattached, unapologetically.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there are so many women comics who are like, my last egg is all dried up. Like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't feel that way. I look fucking good. Any guy would be very lucky to go out with me.
Katie's a looker. Even she's not glammed up now like she is on her album cover, but you know, you always had, and I'm saying this on the radio, on the podcast, you always have like we said Daria vibe last year,
mm-hmm.
earlier this year. You kind of got that Julia Stiles.
Oh yeah, I get her a lot. Actually.
People say yeah, it's like that disposition. It's not like because you date black mm-hmm. guys, but it's just like. She's fucking cool. It's like, you're like, don't fuck with me, but I'm cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Which, you know, that's already a lot more than a lot of women are bringing energy-wise to, like, a relationship scenario. And I get, it scares guys away, and I have scared.
What scares them away?
Just the, like, energy of being like, hey, I'm cool.
Hey, kids,
like,
I'm fun.
You like
fun.
Me? Great. You don't like me? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
And it's harder for women. So I really, why I do that material is more because I know that there are women who feel, who take it very personally, who really feel that they are doing something wrong by not having kids and not, you know, finding a partner. And it's so fucking hard to find a decent man. Like, it is so difficult that to feel bad about that on top of it when it's already so, so hard. And, you know, you get older and guys get older and have to. So okay, I got.
Okay.
I'm not going to say where I got this, but it was the holiday card for a state senator in Alabama.
All right.
His name is Tom Whatley.
All right.
And his. This is his fiance.
How old is he?
He's going to be 50 next year, which, do you believe that? Because I don't believe that.
Older
I think
than
he's
going
to be 70 next year.
He looks old as shit.
And she graduated college 2 years ago.
Nice.
And they are engaged.
Go ahead, Tom.
And this is their holiday card that they mail to people. So, like, Tom is always going to be able to get married again. Like, Tom will be able to find a partner, you know?
Yeah.
Katie is going to have a, I mean, because Katie wouldn't put up with that shit. So it's like, there's a lot of people who are off the list just because I'm like, that's not worth it.
The guy's too old.
Yeah. He's too old for me.
I was at the barbershop on Sunday and I was talking to the barber and this other guy. And he was like, yeah, my girl's 28. I'm 55. I was like, no, he's like, no, she's 21.
Ugh.
And I was like, well, what do y'all talk about?
Seriously.
He was like, he couldn't say anything. He didn't have anything to say.
But that's, you know, he doesn't want a woman that he can talk to.
I do.
Great. There is one out there for you. Like, we can definitely get a woman for you.
Oh, you go.
This is a good podcast idea for us to, like, interview potential dates for each other.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, I mean, if you, I don't, like, she has to be hot to me.
Yeah, same.
It's not like, oh, I want, because even in porn, like, you can, sorry.
That's okay.
But if you, there's a woman, like, you might think, like, she's, oh, this girl is this way or that. No, okay, not in porn. You can say on Instagram, there's different types of women.
Mm-hmm.
My only thing is, like, preference-wise, it's almost, like, really attractive to me, curly hair.
Mm-hmm.
If she doesn't have curly hair, it's fine, but I think it's attractive when they do.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything.
I think that's really it physically. And
that's a dominant gene, so I think we have
curly hair.
Yeah.
And then smart and can make me laugh. That's it. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, like it, I don't have a list.
Right.
You know, but yeah, it is. It's, and my trouble is I'm not putting myself out there. Like I'm too.
Oh, same.
I'm into my own shit where I'm like, I'm fucking.
I went to a psychic a couple years ago and she was like, there's a guy out there. She like describes a guy and she goes, but you do have to go meet people. And I was okay, well, this one's not going to come true.
Because yeah. I kind of let one slip away a couple months ago that I could have probably talked to. And I was like, fuck.
Like how?
Off mic.
Okay.
And it wasn't anything nefarious. Mm-hmm. It was just out.
Yeah.
At a thing. And then, yeah, I'm not going to talk about it.
About it later because, yeah, I'm sure I have advice for you.
And
I, without giving any identifying information because this is a comic, but I had an ex show up at my album release show.
Oh.
With a gift for me. And it's somebody that I've been on and off with, and we've been off.
Is he a comic?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
We've been off for a couple years.
New York or L.A.?
I declined to answer.
Okay. All right.
And it was like, we haven't talked. Like, he gave me this gift.
Uh-huh.
I, again, don't want to say what it was because too identifying. I almost asked Wendy Williams about it because I went to Wendy Williams last week.
Yeah, I think I did. I saw a couple clips. You asked her about it.
I was going to. They have a segment called Ask Wendy.
Okay.
Where you ask her for advice. So they were like, you have to change this, and this. So it's just like a punchier question. But we didn't get to the segment. They cut it at the last second. So.
Did you talk to her?
No.
You and Sue were on there.
Yeah. She talked to Sue.
What did she say to Sue?
She was like, happy birthday, princess. And then she was like, yes, you. Because Sue was like, me? It was so amazing.
I took her to the thing
and I brought her a tiara.
Okay.
So that's how Wendy knows
it's
your birthday.
I did see that. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. What was I talking about?
This
gift thing. So it's somebody who I think has severe fear of intimacy.
The guy.
Yes.
Okay.
And I am also someone who has a severe fear of intimacy. And it was like the first time we broke it off, it like, I really never got over it.
Okay.
So every time we've like been back on, I can't. I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
I never feel secure, you know?
And you need to feel secure when you're with a person, right?
Like in any context, you know?
I feel like that with a woman, like with a woman too. Like not like because I'm going to protect. It's just... yeah, you want to feel secure.
You have to feel like they want you there.
Yeah, you know? that's true.
And that you're not annoying them. Mm-hmm. But I also can, I have felt that feeling of like, oh my God, I'm going to be trapped, you know, or like.
With him?
Not with him. Relationship? He just got there first. I felt it in other relationships.
That's happened to me before.
I'm anxious avoidant. I don't know about you. Have you read Attached?
I haven't read that.
Okay, yeah.
I had one time where there was a woman that I liked and. We're friends to this day, but we were kind of doing boyfriend girlfriend stuff, and then it got physical, and then she felt like I was coming on too strong, even though I was like, well, we were doing all this intimate friendship mm-hmm. stuff. I helped you move. You think I'm just gonna do that for anybody? And then she's like, "Oh, you're coming on too strong," and I don't know. But yeah, it didn't. But she's a sweetheart.
I mean, yeah, it's like, and it probably is like her own stuff, her own insecurity. Yeah. I know for me, it is largely my own insecurities.
Yeah.
And even in this scenario, like I, you know, hadn't been to therapy the first time, or I had been, but it was like I was kind of early in the process when the first breakup went down.
I should go to therapy.
Oh yeah, you should go just for like 6 months. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah,
and you have health insurance, so
I do. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's relationship stuff. I think that's the only thing. Like, it's almost like you put all this time and effort into mm-hmm. your craft and your art and all that stuff, and then it's just kind of like, well, if cool stuff happens to you, and then it's like, well, who do I share that with?
Right. And it's also like, who's that support for you? Having somebody who can accept you. But, I mean, I know there's like debate about this, but I do think it's like the harder you find it to accept yourself, the harder you're going to make it for someone else to accept you.
Mm. Fuck.
Yeah, I know. That's what therapy is. That's what it is. It's not changing yourself. It's accepting yourself.
Yeah. I think as I've gotten older, I think I've accepted myself. Like, there's always insecurity and stuff, but overall, I feel pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just like when you like look at yourself and you're like, ugh.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
Whatever it's about. Like, just catching that and being like, okay, no. Like,
yeah.
I'm perfect, you know?
No, yeah, it's the happy medium of it all.
So, how do we get on that topic?
Oh,
so
he gave you a gift.
I mean, that's really it. It's just like, you know,
Was it what kind of gift? I mean, you probably can't say.
It was
say
a
what,
like, personalized gift based on like...
Your relationship.
Through the ages.
Uh-huh.
Because like we started going out initially 9 years ago.
Wow.
So, almost 10, you know? So it's like... It like calls back to that era, I guess.
Fuck.
Yeah.
So what did you, have you talked to him after that?
I texted with him lightly the next day.
Light
and
texting?
I kept it like super breezy because I was just like, how fucking dare you? Mm-hmm. I also got a card that said, love ya. And that was
from him?
Yeah.
He probably does. You probably love him.
I know,
him.
But it's like.
Do you love him?
I have feelings for him, yeah.
Yeah.
But like whenever I think about it, cause it's like, I could reach out to him. That was my question for Wendy. I was like, should I call him? But, I don't see any way forward where we have a good romantic relationship. Hmm. You know, I think we can be civil when we see each other and that should be the goal. Like, and I appreciate his support. Like, he did come to my album release show, you know, but, I don't think we would do anything except make each other miserable, honestly.
Oh shit. Yeah, you don't need that if you know it's going to be that way.
Part of it is that he needs to go to therapy, too. Like, if he would go to therapy, then, like, this could be a different conversation.
How old is he?
He's older.
Older than you?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know, Katie. What are we going to do?
I don't know. I mean, who knows? It's such a weird time, too, like, with technology and, like, even thinking about who is out there to meet is so different than it used to be.
I... this is another off mic thing. We should have made a list of off mic stuff that I actually should get some advice for you from you mm-hmm. about that. It's you get some of these signals and then it's like, oh, that was a thing. And I asked a man, oh, she totally fucking, and then I've asked a woman, she said, that's something. But then you reach back out and it's like, ah, then there's like, boop, there's nothing.
Of silence, you mean? Yeah.
So it's kind of like, all right. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, in terms of like game playing, I don't have that kind of advice. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
I don't want to play any games. I'm too fucking old.
Yeah, fuck it. It's such a waste of time. I mean, that's what it would be like in a relationship. It would be constant game playing.
But that's what this album, what I feel like is like you.
Oh, thank you for bringing it back to my album.
Yeah, you touch on this stuff. No, it's like real shit. And it's like, you're putting yourself out there. And I mean, that stylistically, I mean, it's a taste thing for me. Like, I like that. I appreciate it because that's what I'm working towards. And
I just hate when you, like, when comics try to speak on behalf of other people.
Mm-hmm.
When, like, you know, Mark Norman has that bit about, I don't know if he still does it, but it was like, hey, slutty girls get a bad rap. And I was like, listen, Mark, slutty mm-hmm. girls will take this question, okay? Mm-hmm. And, like, talk about your own life. Talk about your own point of view.
And I think just Mark, who's a very funny comic... Mm-hmm.
But his material's gotten more personal, and I like it better.
That's what I told him one time. This was like three or four years ago. I was like, dude, your stories that you talk about on your podcast, if you just fucking... like, I'm a joke guy. So I was like, all right. But when he does that, game over.
Yeah. It's really interesting.
Because he's very talented at writing mm-hmm. jokes, but it's like he's like one of those dudes, if you just opened up.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and it's like, I get it. I know that it's easier to open up to a room full of strangers than it is to a romantic partner. But
yeah, I think sometimes I'm a little too open. I have been in the, but that was in my 20s. I was listening.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know. And it's like when you get excited, it's like
listening to all this fucking R&B music.
Yeah. Is there a song that isn't like completely fucking unhinged? That isn't about being like totally mentally unbalanced because somebody broke up with you? Like, I get it. We all are there, but like, could mm-hmm. we write a chill song?
Or not even not like crazy, but just like you, just that vulnerability of being a little fearless, and then you kind of get your heart stomped on, or you get rejected, and it's like, well, I'll never do that again.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like I'll never do that again, and then you really get nowhere.
Yep.
Then you're watching The Watchmen
mm-hmm.
at night when you can be hanging out with somebody. You could be making out with somebody,
right.
Or she could be on the couch
watching Watchmen with you. Yeah.
Watching, so it's like you have to fucking do the work, just like we're doing the stand up and the podcast and all that shit.
But it is like that's one of the reasons that I do therapy is that like when it comes along, because I don't think it's gonna be like I can't just like pick a guy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got to be the right person.
You could, Katie.
I mean, I know that, but I wouldn't. But I want to be ready. You know, I want to like be ready for a relationship when that.
Yeah.
happens. So I don't want to be like in my own way because I've done enough of that.
Sure.
So
yeah, I think I've been in my own way a lot too with a lot of things. And I think like now, like recent stuff has just been happening where it's just like there's another gear.
Mm-hmm.
There's another gear that I can reach if I just like put it, you know, just to be somebody that's like just to try to max out my full potential.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm like,
open your heart up, you know, experience the full range of human emotion, etc.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. So what else about this album? I just think it's authentically you. I think it's very good. It's just very like it's just out there. I don't know. What did your mom think?
I think she liked it.
You think she liked it?
I think she said she listened to it and that it was funny.
And that's why you do comedy.
Yeah.
What about your dad?
He said that I got an email from him that he and my stepmom listened to it on their drive to someplace.
Okay.
And he's like, we were like crying laughing about it.
That's
except
awesome.
The parts about me, you know.
but that wasn't
softball
really
practice. No, it's not so bad.
No.
But I mean, he should still feel guilty about that because it is true.
He did. So wow. Oh yeah, that's You did this, Dad. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. So, what's it like now for you? Now that you put out this album, that
I don't know. I mean, really, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do next, what even, like, I should set as a goal, mm-hmm. that, which is, like, part of the reason I want to take some time off and just kind of, like, reset, you know, like, take care of my health, get enough sleep, ideally.
No, it's very important. It's my struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just, like, I'm in a, you know, pattern now where I'll watch TV for a couple hours a night and I'll have my phone in my hand the whole time.
Oh my God.
And I'm just like, I can't keep doing this. Like, this is
aren't we dating?
Because we're both on our fucking phones watching shows at different times.
Jesus.
And also I have a crippling fear of intimacy, and so do you. So
I don't think I have, maybe less than you, but yeah, that's fucking, yeah, I do that too. It's hard for...
But I think everybody does it. It's just one of those things. Like, one of my friends stayed here for my album recording.
Uh-huh.
He was like, hey, I want to get you something for Christmas and for letting us stay with you. Do you want an Apple Watch? And I was like, no.
That's a hell of a
deal. I fucking do not. He's the one that used to work at Apple. So,
oh, okay.
Like, and he worked on the Apple Watch. So, you know, to him, he doesn't find it threatening at all. And I'm like, I don't want to wear fucking technology, like, strapped to my body.
Yeah.
I already have enough to... Like, if I get really sick of my phone, I throw it across the couch so that I can't reach it. You know?
Yeah, I need to. I don't think I'm a psycho with the phone.
No, I just think it is psycho. But it's kind of like so easy to get into that.
Yeah, and you're scrolling, mm-hmm. or sometimes my laptop is open.
Mm-hmm.
If
I constantly catch myself on my phone in front of my laptop, and that's just like in the last year I've started noticing that. I didn't used to do that.
Yeah, I need to. When I'm at the movies, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, that is my happy place. Mm-hmm. That is my sanctuary, and. I can become a Nazi when I'm like
at the movies.
I fucking hate when people, I was like, really, are you going to do that? Mm-hmm. You fucking, that's why. Yeah. Star Wars is out this week. The nerd in me, like I had a death in the family, mm-hmm. and we got to handle that this weekend and stuff. And, I had gotten a ticket for it on Thursday, and I was going to see it again on Friday at Alamo. And when I ordered my ticket at Alamo, you can buy these collector's glasses.
Mm-hmm. I have one from Star Wars.
So I have to, I don't know if I'm going to, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck. But yeah, it's like weird when I'm like obsessed with, I got to get those glasses. For what?
Right.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah. You won't give a shit.
And I don't need it. I don't need fucking collectors. I'm just going to put cranapple in it. Why do I have anxiety about that?
Because that's what the man wants.
Does the man want that? I don't think he gives a shit.
He wants you to have anxiety about buying things. Absolutely.
I guess so.
You should be buying things, and if you're not buying things, you should be wanting to buy things.
That's true. That's bad.
We're so in a dystopian. It's all happening. Like,
well, the thing that I do want the next year, like I'm thinking about, I would kind of want a MacBook. Do you have an iPhone?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like it?
Mm-hmm.
See, I had a Droid. I haven't had any problems with it. It's fine. But then,
I mean, the way it talks to the Mac is like amazing.
So, see, that's what I was thinking.
Like,
if I got
text on the Mac and it comes through to here.
Is that the 11?
Vice versa. This is a 10R. But okay. It would work with any of them.
Yeah, see, it's very tempting. I was thinking about it. But anyway, that would be a big purchase for me. But the thing that I mainly want is this video game, The Last of Us Part 2.
For iPhone?
No, for PlayStation 4. Mm. And that's the only like thing that I'm really excited about for next year. Like that, like if I just want I want health in my family and mm-hmm. my friends mm-hmm. and all that stuff, and I want that game.
Yeah.
Because Part 1 was so, my listeners probably rolling their fucking eyes, but I love that game, and the Part 2 is going to be incredible. I talked to this YouTuber for over 2 hours about like the game on this podcast, and it was one of the best episodes I've had. It was amazing. Anyway, but yeah, that's the only thing I'm super like as a consumer. It's like I need this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a collector's edition, and because of my schedule next year, it's gonna be where I can't go to GameStop and physically get it like the night.
Yeah,
you know,
it
like
drops,
when it drops, mm-hmm. so I'll have to get it downloaded on my computer, on my PlayStation. So, and then I'll probably try to take the next day of work off. It was supposed to come out on my birthday. It was supposed to come
and they pushed
out. It was supposed to be February 21st, and it was on a Friday. I didn't have anything on the books.
Yeah.
I was going to turn, I'm turning 40.
Mm-hmm.
Could have a nice dinner or something, like something nice, and then fucking have that game and play it for the weekend. Now it's May 29th.
That's terrible.
I'm kind of sick, but enough about me. What else do we want? So basically, you've done this thing. You released this when?
September 13th.
September. So now that this thing is out, what's comedy looking like? You're taking some time off.
I am, yeah. It's really like I have to ask for shows, you know, and I gotta like find a more methodical way to do that instead of just like feeling bad about it until I like finally.
I thought you and I talked about this.
Did we?
About you asking.
Oh, about asking, yeah.
Yeah,
I talked to everybody about asking.
Okay, not being.
I know, you're right.
Not being too cool for school.
No, I'm not. That's not at all how I mean it. I just feel like pathetic when I have to ask. It's not not about thinking that I'm better than that. I do not think that.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and I just need to like be more structured about that too. Mm-hmm. And just be like,
I gotta
these
do
are the
too.
Dates that I need to fill instead of like, what am I doing next week? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that is like kind of an overarching just like process goal.
Yeah.
But in terms of like I would like to do a special next, I guess.
Nice.
But, you know, I'd like to like sell it. So
creatively, or you could do it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You could film it and then do it on like Sam Arill's doing it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can do it on Amazon too. It's, you know.
Oh, did they? Okay. Oh, that's the enemy.
Oh, yeah, I know. I probably would not do it on Amazon. I mean, I don't, you know, I don't know what it's going to look like.
Well, that's a good goal.
Yeah, I think it would be cool. And I don't think it's next year. I think it's probably the year after. What's getting material together.
The creative process for you, how's that since you just put this out?
Yeah, I talked to Kate Willett because she put out this is before I recorded, but she was like, and people usually stop, you know, try to stop doing their album material. She's like, I didn't really do that. And I was like, okay, great. I'm not doing that. Like my album material is good. No one knows who the fuck I am. There's really no point in me. Like,
oh, sure. While you generate.
Burning, I don't need to burn that material, you know?
No, I saw you when I did your show and like, that was August.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. That seemed like it wasn't that long ago, but it's kind of.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, actually.
Yeah, but it seemed like
a few months, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, but like you were doing new stuff, and then you had mixture with some of the stuff that was fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fine. I have like two bits right now that I feel decent about, but I, you know, the album wasn't even an hour; it was 51.
It's an
hour. The show was 53. I cut a couple things.
It's an hour. So,
I know. Well, my talking speed, it is an hour.
It's your hour.
Material, yeah.
That's your hour. Yeah. But yeah, has it been hard? Has it been like just like coming up with stuff like?
Yes. Uh-huh. It's just like now that I can like I'm back to being able to talking about whatever I want, you know, and it's not like I'm limited to like material that I already have that I want to expand.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I'm like, oh, did you know that rats in the subways, like they have two different like social classes, one in the tracks and one in the sewers, like the upper class is the sewer. I'm like, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about people who can't tell the difference between real maple syrup and fake maple syrup, because what the fuck is wrong with you? It's like I'm bouncing all over the place. So it's kind of like, how do I figure out what's funny about those things and then put them into something that
where
I can make those two things make sense next to each other or like in the same, you know, wherever they end up.
That's good.
But yeah, I mean, I do like talking about silly stuff, you know, versus, and like, I don't need to be so personal about everything, but that's just like where I end up.
That's home for you. That's like, that's a good wheelhouse to work from, you know? And I think when you do stuff, when you do it like that, it may take a little more time to generate the new stuff. 'Cause you have to have life experiences and. Sometimes it's like this fucked up thing happened and I experienced that and it's like, my parents were fighting Thanksgiving and it was just the day after actually. Mm-hmm. It's like, this fucking sucks. And but then there's something in that I will definitely, you know, can mine. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, fuck. Well, I got to process that and then try to.
I honestly get a therapist. It'll help you like pull out what you want to talk about with that stuff too.
I should.
Just even as like a writing exercise. Mm-hmm. Therapy is a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you have it, folks. I need therapy.
Everybody needs therapy. Okay.
No, everybody needs it. We do. I'm trying to think if there was anything else I wanted to say, but I just really like it. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. I mean, I am proud of it. You know,
you should be.
I'm not trying to be super false modest.
It's hard for comics to take. Yeah. I guess let's wrap it up. We're at 6:07. We gotta wrap this shit up. You gotta do a show.
I gotta just send an email and then that.
Katie, this has been a fucking delight as always.
Likewise.
Plug some stuff. The album.
Yep. Please buy my album, Hard Pass. If you go to my Twitter, it's my pinned tweet. Has all the links. That's really the biggest thing right now because I have two podcasts. They're both on hold right now. One is probably going away. The RuPaul's Drag Race one.
Okay. Is the show going away?
No, but Sharon and I just don't have that much free time. We like the show, but we don't podcast every week the show that much. Yeah. So I think we're trying to figure out how to step that down and close it. So I think we have one more episode coming, but I don't know when.
Sure.
The other one is called Kid Life Crisis. They both have episodes up. So if you are into either one of those things, you can listen to them.
Katie, thanks so much for hanging out with me.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. Take it easy, everybody.